Baptism is something that we're not supposed to forget, along with our salvation. You're not supposed to forget those special moments that we have, Well, we finished up a couple of weeks with a couple of mission teams. We had a group from Florida, a little more quiet group, but they did do some things here and worked at the soup kitchen and the meal ministry and the thrift store. And then they left, and it was the next day that we had 20-some come in from Mississippi, and they were very, very busy. Done a lot, a little bit of thrift store, meal ministry, canvassing, some work here and there, fixed some things, and done some other things, and done some canvassing in Columbia City. So we've kept them busy. And they did a little bit here and there, and then in a couple of weeks we started getting the more heavy construction teams coming in. And so if any of you are wanting to help in that, maybe not all day or whatever, because I know you're working, but it would be great to show your eyes over there and to be a part of that. So I think that first group comes in on July 7th, and they'll start working on the 9th, which would be Monday morning. So, all right, so if you have your Bibles, turn over to John chapter 6. We're going to be there this morning. I want to tell you that some people believe in nothing. Some people believe in their self. Some people believe in God, but they do not believe in Jesus. Some people believe in everything but God. And some people believe in whatever the world tells them to believe or the latest fad. And so we have people believing all kinds of things. Let me tell you this in real short while you're turning there. Satan doesn't care what you believe and what you do as long as you don't do it. And you don't come to the acknowledgement that you need a Savior. He doesn't want you to reach out and grab Jesus as your Savior, because everything else is doom and gloom, but Jesus Christ is the only way. He is the answer. And sometimes I want to share with you today, because I'm telling you, there's a wake-up call in America, but there's a wake-up call in the local church. There's a wake-up call in our homes. And I don't think a lot of us are talking about it. We got people that, you know, will vent over things that we don't like. But when it comes right down to it, there's some basic things that we're just not doing. And so I want you to turn over to John chapter 6. We're going to be in verse 47. We're just going to read a couple of verses today, and then we're going to come back to them again. Most assuredly I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread, anyone who eats of this bread, he will forever. Let me reread that. Sorry. Verse 51, and I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I give for all the life of the world. Father, Lord, we do thank you for this opportunity this morning just to come into this place, Lord, to see a baptism, Lord, that is only, Lord, upon you. It is about you and that individual. And Father, how you take one that could go down with the old self and bring up a new person, a new creation, and only you can do that, Lord. Many times people today are trying to go down and find something new, a new creation, a fresh start, and there's something else. Lord, truly, there is no other fresh start than the fresh start that we start with you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for that. But Father, as we break into your word today, may we understand what the bread of life truly is. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to tell you that the bread of life here, Jesus is telling us that the bread of life is him, the one that is an everlasting life. We have come to a place in our life where we struggle. We get a place that, as a church, we struggle. And the church has forgotten what the bread of life is, I think. The church overall, many of us have forgotten what the bread of life really is. When Jesus was in the desert in Matthew chapter 4, he's sitting there and he's being tempted, and he comes up to this place. He says, when Satan is tempting him to turn the stones into bread, he says, I don't live upon bread alone, but on every word of God, upon the things of God. We have been turning toward that other direction in so much, even in our church. And I want to tell you how I can see it. One is, I see the conferences that are offered that come through the mail or offered through my email to come. Hey, come to this conference. And many of those conferences, how to grow your church, how to grow your church, how to grow your church, how to get more people in your church, how to grow the church. And they're doing that and not doing the real thing and the right thing. Also, the church is doing more worldly things. We're doing more worldly business and not being about God's business. Are we in the house today? Or are we just sitting here today? We're doing too much of the world business and not enough of God's business. And Jesus came to set people free. And the people today don't want to be set free. Even when we're sitting in the congregation today, I've got my salvation, I've got my peace, but let's go on here for a minute. And there are more people, and it's all this church thing, and I'm not going to bust out any churches today. I'm just saying the church overall, listen, I don't care if you got a fog machine. I don't care if you got the biggest sound system and you got the best band in town. Listen, if it ain't lifting Jesus up, listen, you don't get the Holy Spirit until you have Jesus. Amen? We're trying to cut around Jesus and everything and say, I want the Holy Spirit feeling. I want God's blessing. But we're cutting Jesus out, and that's exactly who God sent to us was Jesus Christ. And so He is the bread of life, not the concerts that we can put off in church. Listen, great music and worship is awesome. And maybe one day we'll have that. Right now, where we are, I think Ashley does a great job. We're doing it, but it is up to us to bring it and to do worship right. But here we find people they won't want to come to the churches. They don't care really what's preached. They go, where do I feel good at? Where's this preacher going to tell me that I'm doing good? I don't want to hear those other things, but where I'm doing good and the church is falling because they're sitting there looking at the numbers and not looking at the one who has all the numbers. When the numbers count. So we're struggling in the church today. There are more people, we're hearing more messages on the feel-good stuff than the scriptural stuff. And I want to tell you, the church is not preaching. Listen, there is a real heaven and there is a real hell. It isn't about get your best life now. It isn't about get what you want. It's about there is a real heaven. There is a real heaven. The bread of life come down from heaven to save you from hell. That is a basic message, but we don't want to hear that. Hell, it says, the Bible says, wide is the gate. Oh my goodness, am I going to preach today? Are we going to preach? Are we going to listen to it or what? Wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Wide is that gate. That means there's a lot of people going. But narrow is that gate because people don't want to do that. They want to get on it, and when it gets a little tough, they want to get away from it. Or they're getting their eyes start. Satan starts pulling them and deceives them to look at other things instead of staying on the straight and narrow. The church is struggling today just in the basic part of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. But not only is the church struggling, the people are struggling. The people are struggling. We become busy and complacent in our own life. We become busy about my family, my job, my stuff, my kids, me, instead of him. And the me stuff comes in line when you get on the straight and narrow. And we're struggling in the church because we say, I don't get enough time with my spouse. I don't get much time with my kids. I get that. You need to take care of your family. You need to take care of your family. That is a thing that God instituted in the Garden of Eden. You take care as a family, a marriage. You take care of that. You take care of that. But you cannot live life complacent of just being that, hey, I'm good. I've got everything, and get all busy up into the other things. We become immune. We as individuals have become immune to the lost out there. We don't think about the lost people anymore. Wide is the gate. We don't think about tomorrow, death angel may come and say, time is up. Time is up. Time is up. And no one shares the gospel because Christians have become complacent. Christians have become immune to the lost. Listen, they're flooding in today. There are people today, the clock has ticked out. It is done. It is over. No more extra time. No more snooze time. It's over. They can't hear the gospel no more. But we as Christians have that. We have an understanding what the bread of life is. You've taken it. Now it's time to start sharing that out there. Listen, let me tell you. You don't have to be called to be an evangelist to share the gospel. An evangelist is that piece that God's gifted a man or woman to share the gospel, and they're just going everywhere, and they're just on fire, and then they have their low points too, but they just share the gospel. They share the gospel. But we're all called to share the gospel. Amen? We're all supposed to do it in the way that we live, in the way that we walk, the way that we talk, the way that we act, and then also how we talk to them about who Jesus is. They're watching us. They're watching us. But not as much as they used to. not near as much as they used to. Many of us have gotten to a point where we just got the Sunday morning peace and our relationship with God is on Sunday morning, but nothing through Monday through Saturday. Many of us have done that. Many of us have forgotten how to share the gospel, how to share the bread of life. You share it with peace and love and kindness, not with a bullhorn telling everybody that they're going to heaven. You've got to do it in love and read the first five, read the book of Mark. As Jesus, all this compassion flows out to the lost and the hurting and the broken. And we have forgotten that we are letting, maybe we want to say our ministries can take care of it, but no, you are still going down streets that I can't go. You are going through doors that I can't go through. You know people that I don't know, and you know people that other people don't know, and God's put you in their path to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because listen, I don't care what you get on, if you ain't on the heaven train, you're on the wrong train. And it's going to have a time when it's coming back and it's calling all of its believers back in. And they're going to take a one trip. And all of them that's got that ticket, all of them that's got Jesus Christ, the bread of life, they're all going up into glory. And the rest of them, they're going to face the judgment of God. And that's not a good place to be. You don't want to be a part of that great white judgment. That great white judgment is a judgment that you don't want to be. That's all the people that did not receive the bread of life. I don't want that. But what happens when we don't share the bread of life? Number one, now listen, this is the church thing. Number one, people don't get saved. Is salvation still important? Salvation is still important. To the lost person, it is the only thing that is important. And they just don't know it. But here we got battles going on in our Southern Baptist Convention, but don't think it's just Southern Baptists, it's all the denominations. We got caught up in all these things and we've forgotten this whole thing about salvation. People don't get saved when you don't share the bread of life. People don't get baptized when you don't share the bread of life. Baptism is important. If we don't share the bread of life, how do we expect the community to change? We have come to a place. There are three churches in this community. Us, Trinity, at First Baptist. We might have a little bit of doctrinal issues. We might have a little bit of difference in theology. But we all have one thing in common, and His name is Jesus Christ. But if you have it in common and you're not using it, then we're all failing in our part of spreading the bread of life. We cannot be about how many people can we get into a building. It must be that someone was invited, someone came, and we've been praying for them, that someone could testify that they shared the gospel for this person five or six times, and finally they come to this place where they acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior. A community is not changing. This community is not changing, and we live in the hardest part of this whole county is right here, and God's put us here, and this community here needs to change. And it will not change with a block party. It will not change with a cookout and a concert, but it will change when you share the bread of living life, the bread of Jesus Christ. But you cannot expect them to come just because we throw out a few trinkets. We must show up. We must give them something that is real, that is the bread of life, that is Jesus Christ. There are some communities, as you will read, if you read in the book of Acts and the New Testament, you'll see that some, where Paul went, they didn't want to hear the gospel. You can even see it in the Gospels, that there were places where Jesus went where they did not want to hear the gospel. In fact, in his own hometown, they took him to a hill and they wanted to throw him over. But his time wasn't ready, and the Bible says he just walked right through him. But the Bible says in Mark, they wanted to kill him. So when you want to change the neighborhood for the good, for the Lord, there is going to be opposition. We've had more opposition than most of you know, and some of you know some of the oppositions that we have. Satan will not stand by. He does not care what goes on as long as we are not sharing the bread of life. And when we do, that draws his attention. And then we begin to get into spiritual warfare, which we struggle understanding that many times. But here it is. If we don't share the bread of life, we cannot expect our community to change. If we do not spread and share the bread of life, we should not expect this church to grow. If we are not sharing the bread of life, we should not expect this church to grow. Now, growth doesn't come from us. We can plant, we can water. Growth comes from the Lord. But I'll tell you, listen, you reap what you sow. Amen. You want to reap? You want to sow into an awesome concert? You're going to reap those who want to hear it and want to be a part of it. Listen, I don't have to raise my hands at every service, but there's times that I need to. There's times I come into a service that I know I need to. There's times that I feel the Holy Spirit says, honor me, love me, and I do it, and I don't do it. So sometimes in worship, I rebel against the Lord. I don't mean to, but I do. But there's times when I come in, but here it is. I'm not coming in to hear who's good and who's not. I'm coming in here to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what a worship is. Worshiping God. And worshiping Him with your heart. And you throw out your vocals. Doesn't matter if you sound like Barney Fife or not. You express your worship sometimes through music. And you do it. And God hears the hearts of and the souls of your voice inside of you. Now, we put people that can sing up here better than some of us, and that's good. We should always be at the best. But if we don't share the bread of life, the church won't grow. This is what happens when you don't get dressed 5 minutes prior. So if we don't share the bread of life, the church won't grow. But also we find out that if we don't share the bread of life, people go to hell. We cannot miss that. That people go to hell. It's very difficult. I would love for you all to put your to just take a moment and think about doing the funeral for a lost person. And there's broken people in that room. And what are you going to say? You're going to say something that makes them all feel good, and you're going to do something that's going to comfort them. But there's a truth in you that you know that if you know that they were not saved, it makes it very, very difficult. But while all this is being talked about this morning, Satan wants to keep you. This is why we don't share. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to help you a little bit why we don't share. There's a lot of reasons why we don't share the gospel. Some of us are fearful. Some of us are afraid. We need to get beyond that. God can give us the strength and the courage to do those kind of things. Some of us don't know how. We're going to learn through that in the next few months. We're going to keep practicing. We're going to keep working through that. But there are some other issues. It doesn't matter if you know how. You won't when you're in one of these brackets I'm going to talk about. Satan wants us to be a slave to sin. We know that's Bible, amen? He wants us to be a slave to sin. He wants you to keep you in the murk and the dirt of life. He wants you to keep your head down that you don't look up. Okay? He wants you to keep you in sin and keep you away from the bread of life. And if you have the bread of life, you have salvation, you've done those things, but you've kind of slipped back in that old way, and you're starting to act like that old creature that you used to be. He will keep you in those places and keep you to be ineffective. His best goal then is to keep you ineffective of sharing what you believe that you have. I'm going to share with you some things that are killing America. And it's not just killing America, it's killing the American church. It's killing the Christians because just, did you know that Christians can be an alcoholic? Let's not fool ourselves. So this isn't just about lost people. I'm going to run through a couple of things. I'm going to tell you addictions is killing America. The biggest part is that we don't want to admit that we have a problem. That's the first thing when you want to get help. You have to admit that you got a problem. No, I did some research at North Point. North Point is a research place. They said that this, in their research, that 10% of Americans are somehow addicted to some type of illegal drug. That's 1 in 10. That's 1 in 10. So Satan's doing pretty good with that area. And we see also that also in this JABA research here, it's like also we see with the alcohol piece, it is 12.7% of Americans are addicted to alcohol. The most of it is that people don't want to admit that they have an alcohol problem. Listen, if you buy a case and you bring it home every day, you know, you probably got a problem. Let me tell you this. If you got a cooler in your car, And there's wine coolers or there's beer, you probably got a problem. Listen, I know. Anybody ever know anybody that had a cooler in their vehicle? Going to pop the top right after work. Matter of fact, I got to get one before I go to work. That's the American. 12.7%. We struggle with computers and gaming. Young people struggle with computers and gaming. Not getting off the computers. We as even adults, we can't get off the computers. Computers and gaming are two different things. Listen, there's nothing wrong with playing. And let me back up for a minute. This thing about addictions and drinking. I know there's a big battle in that. Is it bad to have a drink? I'm not going to fight that battle. I got other things. I'm not going to get in that conversation. Oh, I have a bottle. I have a beer every now and then. I'm not even going to fight that. I don't even fight tattoos anymore. I just don't. You want to get a tattoo? That's great. That's between you and the Lord. We got bigger battles to fight. Okay. If you feel convicted of that, great. If you don't, okay. I'm not giving you the A-OK to go get a beer. I'm not giving you A-OK to go smoke marijuana when it becomes legal in Indiana. If it does, I'm not giving you A-OK on that. You make up your own mind. But the computers and gaming, there's a lot more going on. Let me tell you, there's a lot more going on in computers and gaming than the computer and the gaming. Amen? There's a lot more going on. This is where people get into these relationships that are not healthy. All right? So that's an area that Satan is using. It's a tool. Another one is pornography. 12%, what do we have here? 12% of the sites on the computer, on the internet, are porn sites. 40 million Americans will visit a porn site regularly. There's 116,000 child pornography searches a day in America. Now, you may think that's disgusting, and I agree with you, that is disgusting. But you want me to tell you something. God thinks when you tear your body down that that's disgusting, because He created the body to be a living vessel, a holy vessel. So we struggle with this even thing with pornography. We struggle with it, and Satan has many of us in a vice, and he's got you in a headlock and you can't get out. And then we have these others that say, well, that's not really a problem, but we also got a problem. We can't even socialize. This is a problem, I think, why we have a problem with sharing the bread of life, because we can't even talk to people, because the next one is those who are addicted to their cell phone and social media. People spend an hour and a half. The stats came out that the average person spends 90 minutes a day in their phone. Those people on that phone, most of them will not come to your funeral. They're not going to come and help you. They're not going to be there for you on your bad days. They're not going to pray for you. I see all this. I'll pray for you. Listen, if we were really praying, we would be in a lot better situation than we are, than what everybody's claiming to say. Don't tell somebody you're praying for them if you're not. You're lying. No matter what it is, your signature is on it. You said it. We are struggling in America. Listen, you can go out to eat and you can watch five people, family of five, sit there and do this and have no conversation back and forth. Because we are so into that phone. Now, it's a great tool, but it has now become an idol. Got to get the latest phone. Got to get the latest one. Oh, I got to have this. I got to have that. I got all these. They got screens and people just doing this. And I know I've been in trouble from time to time. Give my one granddaughters, hey, here, play this game. Because I want to tell you, we're giving the little ones those. Like 2 years old, I was reading up on it. 2 year olds are already getting the cell phones, and they already know how to swipe, find their games, and do their stuff. And they're doing it all the time. And so we're struggling with that. Toys R Us is going out of business. Because now kids don't want to play with real toys. They don't want to get those learning tools. But we got that phone. Satan loves it. Because it's your privacy. And you can be anywhere in the world. When you grew up in my day, if you wanted to look at a pornography book, you had to go find Grandpa's closet. Or go over here and try to sneak a peek. Try to flip that channel that daddy didn't pay for, and you're trying to get that thing to come in a little bit clearer. And now you just flip that bad boy open and you can have anything and everything you want. Color, size, age, ethnic, anything you want. And Satan says, I love it. And we're struggling. And no wonder why the church is struggling, trying to share the bread of life. We can't even get our lives together. And so we're struggling. So Satan will keep us enjoying the sin no matter what the cost. He'll let you be a good guy as long as you're not in and sharing the bread of life and not receiving the bread of life. He don't care about how good you are. It's about how you get with the one that is good. There's only one that is truly good, and his name is Jesus Christ. Satan will slowly convince you that it is okay to accept sin in the church. Accept sin into your life, into your family. Now, it's tough when you got a family member that's living ungodly, and you're a Christian, and they're living an unchristian life, and you raised them up into the church, and they were great, and they were on fire when they were a kid. They were on fire as a youth person. Then they went off and living with somebody, or they had a baby outside of wedlock, or they're in a homosexual relationship, or they went out and done drugs and alcohol, all those things, and they're living in the streets or doing those things. It is hard as a Christian to work through that, but I want to tell you, those who know what the bread of life is still remember that it is the only way for the cure of brokenness and the forgiveness of sin. So Satan knows that the bread of life is the cure of all sins. It is the cure of all brokenness. It is the cure of all those things in our life and all of our problems. He knows that if you get and you experience and you have the bread of life, that it is your freedom of all the things we talked about. That Jesus is the freedom. And some people say, well, if you just call on Jesus, does it really mean I'm saved? The Bible says if man calls upon Jesus, he is saved. But here it is. It ain't just the mouth. It is the what? It is the heart and soul. You got to give it all. You can't just give your words. You got to give your whole self. You step into it and you say, Lord, I am a sinner and I need you and I need the bread of life. Or, Lord, I'm sinning and I've had the bread of life, but I'm just tearing it apart and I'm not living as I should. There is hope for all when it comes to the bread of life. And the bread of life is simply Jesus Christ into your life. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven. The one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give him is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. This is for everyone in the world. And Jesus Christ offers his life up to us that we might receive salvation through him and through him alone. That is the gift of God that he gave, that he loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not lie, but everlasting life, or have eternal life. Don't be thinking you're so smart that you figured it all out. Don't sit so much back on the funds that you may have stored up, for disease may be coming your way. Don't sit back so much saying, my family is great. Look at the towers and pillars we have. Be careful, because Satan lurks around like a lion seeking he may devour. And he's sneaking not up on you maybe, but he's sneaking up on your spouse. Or he's sneaking up on your youngest one or the weakest in the faith in the family. He's looking and he's prowling to keep you and keep your family down and out, that you might not share the bread of life. There's too many problems. We have too many problems in our church. In the church. We have too many problems in our family because we're not seeking the will of God. We're not seeking Jesus Christ. But we're doing all these other things that we talked about that keeps us a slave to sin. Now, you may say, I struggle with alcohol. I struggle with drugs. I struggle. I don't know if God will forgive me for having sex outside of marriage. I don't know if God will forgive me for lying to my spouse. I don't know if God will forgive me because I got a pornography issue. I want to tell you something. There's nothing you can do that Jesus cannot forgive. Unless you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, which means you stand and you say, I don't want Jesus in my life. That's the only one where it's unforgiven. But I'll tell you, there's nothing that you've done. If you seek God and you ask God and ask Christ to forgive you of your sins, he will forgive. Because it is scriptural. 1 John 1:9. It is scriptural that if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and all of your righteousness. That means all of your ungodly living. We have the key to an abundant life. Abundant life is not what these prosperity preachers are preaching. Abundant life is having freedom, walking in this world, knowing that you are saved, that you are going down this straight and narrow. Even though when you mess up and you sin, you know what? We know that we have Jesus Christ who stands at the right hand of God interceding for us. You know because you know that you know because the Holy Spirit testifies in you that that is the Spirit of God, that you are Him and He's in you. You are getting it done. But my heart breaks. It breaks for this community. Because they're sleeping in today. They don't know. Well, they don't want it. It breaks for my heart. As many women as we see come through the women's life houses, they come through, that they jump on some bandwagon for a moment, and they get a moment, and then when they get back out in the world, they can't take it, or they just go off and run to a charismatic church, and they feel like it's all about a feel-good. Listen, it takes work to do what you got to do to get your life right. God's just not doing this and just doing a little wand on you. You got to do the work. You got to stay away from those people. You got to stay away from those places. Get into the family of God. Amen. Right. Where we encourage and strengthen one another. My heart breaks for this church. Because it isn't full enough. We live in the hardest part of town. You can go down in these alleys, and I've had neighbors come to me and said, hey, we found needles in the alley. We found needles by the house. We found needles when you're back in your church parking lot. We found needles. Listen, we got more lost people than we can help right now. But if we ain't sharing the basic parts of it, and they're just as lost today as they were yesterday, and they're going to be lost, and we're going to feel complacent, and we're going to be immune. Can I tell you what's happening in America? This, just for a minute, I'm going to close. About 15 years ago, as a matter of fact, it was about when we started our church, about 20 years ago, inner city churches, which is the urban churches, and Huntington has a size, we're a little bit different, we still have an inner city here. All the churches, most of the churches decided to leave. They all wanted to go out into the suburban. They all wanted to go out on the edge of town, where the new houses are being developed, with the new places and those kind of things. And you'll see that that's where everybody was wanting to attend church. Can I tell you why? It's a great place. And I'm not speaking against them, but I'm just saying, it's a great place to hide your sin because everybody looks good. Nobody shares their junk. Hey, by the way, when we're out there, let's not do any altar calls either because we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to offend anybody because we want to have a nice church. When Jesus walked upon this earth, the places he would go were the messy and stinky places. He would walk outside the gate where the lepers were. And then for a moment they reached out and they would yell out, Son of David, have mercy on us. Most people would do this. But Jesus went like this. How you doing? My heart breaks for the community. It breaks for this church. It breaks for those who are in bondage of sin. Let me tell you, if you have addiction problems, one of those we mentioned today, you have a chain on you and it's got a lock and key on it, and you cannot break it on your own. You can't do it. You can't do it. That's why Jesus came. Luke chapter 4 tells us. Isaiah 61 tells us. I came to set the captives free. And he rolled that scroll up in Luke chapter 4 and he says, today, this has been fulfilled. So there's no excuse for not having freedom. Now you might need a little help. You might need a support team. You might need some prayer warriors. And you know what? That's all good stuff. Amen. So I'm going to tell you today, and we're going to open up this altar today for those of you that need the bread of life. You need salvation. I'm going to stand right down here and I'll share with you how to receive the bread of life. But for many of you of those, and maybe even with that, you even have an addiction. We're going to work with that. But I'm going to tell you, if you want to be set free, you as a non-believer or as a lost person, non-believer, or as a Christian believer, many of us are in captivity. If you want to be set free today, today is the day to be set free. I think that some people don't come here because why do you want to hang out and they're in captivity, come into a place with a bunch of people that are all in captivity too? It's the same thing out there. We just meet in a different building. But today, I hope today that you have freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to have this opportunity where you're going to stand. So we're going to stand right now.